The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, I'm joined in studio by Conor Gallagher, crime and security correspondent at the Irish Times. Good morning, Conor.
Morning, Pat.
We want to talk to you about Ohinish Alumina and the stories you've been running about that particular plant and what it might be contributing to the Russian war effort. So explain what it does.
So Ohinish Alumina is a vast refinery in the Shannon Estuary in County Limerick, employs about 1,000 people, a little bit more, and it imports bauxite raw material from mines in Guinea and Brazil, and using huge amounts of heat and power and caustic soda transforms that into alumina. Alumina is the raw material needed to make aluminium, so they ship that alumina from their dedicated jetty to refineries in Europe and, crucially for our point, Russia, where it is shipped by train to huge places in Siberia and turned into finished aluminium.
Now, I remember when it opened many, many years ago, it was always the subject of some controversy, you know, whether it was an appropriate place. But it's there now and it's functioning. It was threatened with closure over the years. It's now owned by a Russian parent.
That's right. It used to be owned by a Canadian company, then was bought by the Swiss conglomerate Glencore, and then was bought by Rusal. And Rusal is a Russian metals giant, which was founded by the oligarch Oleg Deripaska about 25, 26 years ago. And Rusal continues to own it. Rusal is also crucially judged the critical company. It's not Russian, it's not state-owned, but it's judged the critical national asset by the Kremlin in terms of defence.
Now, as you say, some of this alumina is exported to Russia and goes to whatever use. It could be in making armaments, which is, I suppose, the point of contention. It also goes to refineries in Europe to make all sorts of things.
Yes, so at least last year and the year before, Europe depended on Ohinish for about 30% of its alumina needs. And that goes into making almost everything, you know, cans of Coke, cutlery, plates, but also crucially the airlines, aircraft, cars. You know, one of their biggest customers is Airbus. Another one is BMW. So not only does Russia really depend on it, Europe really depends on it too, which certainly complicates.
Now this obviously brings about, if this plant was to be sanctioned because it's exporting to Russia, this could impact its exporting to other markets. I don't know how sophisticated and subtle they could be. But you were mentioning to me during the break, there's a wrinkle in all of this. If it turns out that in the wings of a drone, there is some trace of Ohinish alumina, which might be mixed with other aluminium. I mean, it may not be pure Ohinish. It could be from various smelters around the place. But it also goes to Airbus, who make military aircraft.
Yeah.
And some of those have ended up in Ukraine.
Yeah, Airbus aircraft are used by the Ukrainian forces, who also use, like, Leonardo aircraft and, you know, fighter jets manufactured in Sweden and that sort of thing. So, and there's a very good chance Ohinish aluminum is going into these things. So it's very possible, if not likely, that alumina from County Limerick is on both sides of the war in Ukraine, which, yeah, just underlines, I guess, how complicated and fraught the issue is.
Yeah, and supply chains are extraordinarily complicated. I mean, in this case, whatever ends up in a Russian drone, as I said, may have come from many different smelters, all mixed up at the end of the day.
Yeah, we, you know, as part of our investigation, we spoke to experts in alumina and the manufacturer of aluminium, and they said that it's not like, you know, alumina from Ohinish goes into this pot, which is used, goes to this company. Generally, it just all, you fill up your tanks, your silos with alumina from different places, and then that will all go into the smelter to make aluminium. So it's not like there'll be a mixture of different materials all through the process. So it's not a direct line from Limerick to, you know, a one single cruise missile, say.
Is alumina a sanctioned material?
No. Aluminium, finished aluminium, is a sanctioned material. Alumina, the raw material, strangely enough, is not. That's partly because Europe depends on Ohinish so much, partly because the Irish government sanctioned or lobbied extensively, and not just the Irish government, other a few other EU governments lobbied extensively for it to be excluded from sanctions lists. So as the government has been repeatedly pointing out, it's not a sanctioned material. There are those that say that's exactly the problem.
Mm. Now, if you were to get a bit of a Russian drone that landed in Kiev or Lviv or whatever it might be in Ukraine and brought it back to a lab, some lab somewhere, could they kind of trace the DNA of a Hinnish in there? Is that technically possible?
We considered that when we were doing our investigation, and we actually spoke, or one of my Estonian colleagues spoke to a chemist there who said, no, it almost certainly wouldn't be likely to get an exact match, you know, and even if you did, it would be in terms of probability, so it might be like, oh, there's 60%.
So this would be the quality of alumina that comes out of a Hinnish would depend on its feedstock, which the bauxite that comes from maybe many different places.
Yeah.
And also that bauxite might be going to other plants as well, creating alumina. So you might say this is a Hinnish alumina, but it might not be.
Yeah, you could maybe trace it to the bauxite, which is mined, pulled from the ground, and these mines which cause huge environmental damage, but that's another issue in Guinea and Brazil. But that bauxite could go to Ahanis, but also could go to smelters in Canada, in India, in China.
So that fingerprint would not be definitive.
Exactly. And, you know, I know that a documentary maker, Caelan Robertson,
I've seen him online, yeah.
Yeah, has gotten great traction with this. He actually got a sample of the material. He actually gave me some of it as well. And he's going to give it to the Ukrainian authorities to see if they can do something. I'd be surprised if they can do something, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, but as you say, they may say, well, this could have come from Ionish, but they won't ever be able to definitively say, yes, it did.
Yeah, and also you want to be incredibly lucky to get the right piece of battlefield debris to match, you know, that happened to come from this supply chain.
Yeah. Now the question of what else Ionish contribute to the economy, up to 1,000 jobs between those who actually work on the plant and support services. They also export electricity into the national grid. How does that arise?
So it's an incredibly energy intensive process, turning bauxite into alumina. So they built their own power plant some years ago. And that power plant uses huge amounts of energy. In fact, Ionis uses 11%, up to 11% of Ireland's gas supply every day.
My goodness. So much for data centres and their use of electricity.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose, in fairness, it actually contributes back to the grid, because the process of turning bauxite into alumina actually gives off a huge amount of heat that's used to drive turbines, and that actually feeds power back into the grid. Some estimates up to 200,000 homes if it was running at full power. So that supplies some power to the grid, but it's also crucial as a reserve, a backup, if there was a surge or an emergency, if another plant went down. Now, you could, in theory, there is capacity in other generation facilities to compensate for that if it closed tomorrow, but the grid isn't set up to... the way the grid works is you've got the electricity grid on the West Coast and on the East Coast, and actually transferring it across is a lot harder than you might think.
Now, the people might say, well, if you shut down Hinnish Alumina, you have a lot more gas to spare. So, you know, you'd be burning it in gas turbines to compensate for the lost power. So that might be an even Steven kind of calculation. The political question here, I mean, sanctions are supposed to hurt the sanctioned country more than they hurt you. What would be the equation for us?
It's really difficult to figure out. And it was complicated by the fact that Ahanis gave the incorrect figures for exports to the CSO this year. So Micheál Martin has been out and repeatedly making the point that, yeah, core principle of sanctions is they must hurt the target more than it hurts the sanctioner. I don't know. I don't have the figures or the expertise to say if it would hurt EU more than Russia. What we do know is, according to Ionis's own updated figures, 51% in the first part of this year went to Russia. So Russia's getting marginally more than the rest of the world.
Okay, right now. Now the other question is, we're told that Russia is a net exporter of finished aluminium. So do they desperately need Ionis to keep feeding them?
So Russia, the Russian aluminium industry as a whole, probably doesn't. But the point that Rusal could just easily replace the alumina it's getting from Ahanis from, say, China and India, It'll be a lot more difficult than it's been made out to be. Rusal benefits from this vertical integration. It owns the smelters in Krasnoyarsk and in elsewhere in Siberia. It owns Ahenys. It also owns some of the mines in the southern hemisphere. So it's able to benefit from those savings and you know, deals it's able to do with its internal companies. If it was to go to China, which is also considers alumina and aluminium a strategic product, they would have to pay a lot more, and China mightn't necessarily be willing to sell to them, depending on the geopolitical situation.
So what do you think on balance, jobs versus political probity?
Well, I suppose the ideal situation for those who, you know, are appalled by Russia's actions in Ukraine, but also want to protect jobs, is some sort of nationalisation. We don't have a great record of that in this country either. Help would undoubtedly be needed from the EU if action was to be taken.
So we shall watch that space. Conor Gallagher, crime and security correspondent with the Irish Times. Conor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.